And welcome everyone to the 12-hour Thronable Logic special in aid of atheists helping the homeless. We are your hosts for the next 12 hours. Introducing Kitch. Who say nothing? Mortimer, say hello.
Hi everyone.
To Maxman.
Hello everybody.
And Big Lundy. And Kitch, can you hear us now?
Greetings everybody.
Can you hear us now, Kitch?
No. Yes, I had the mic setting turned the wrong way. Is audio okay?
Yes, audio is fine, so we shall get on with it. The reason we're all here tonight is... The reason we're all here tonight is to support Mr. Joe Zemecki's wonderful charity, Atheists Helping the Homeless. Welcome back, Joe. You're a permanent fixture on our show these days, it seems.
Thank you very much for having me on. I hope you can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you perfectly.
Man, and thanks for doing this show. It's 12 hours.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it. On behalf of the volunteers, I want to say thank you.
Yeah, no problem at all. So I think we'll just start off, Joe, and give us a rundown of what your charity's all about.
Well, Atheists Helping the Homeless is a small non-profit group in Texas. Now, we have two chapters, but we're a group that helps out the homeless by giving out toiletries and some other items. And we're active at giveaways. So we've helped a couple thousand people in Austin. Now there's a new chapter in Dallas-Fort Worth. In fact, they have two branches. And there's a website I want to plug from the very start of the show. That is the Dallas-Fort Worth Atheists Helping the Homeless chapter. And that is www.dfwah.com. That's a real nice website they put together.
Okay. And so so when did your charity start up, Joe? How long have you been going now?
How long have I been going to the group?
Yeah, well, no, how long has the group actually been in action as it is? How long have you been doing the giveaways and that?
Since September 2009, and the first giveaway only helped about a dozen people. And since we're going on ever since with monthly giveaways, and again, to brag about the Dallas, they started three, they had over 20 on their first giveaway. Every deal was arrested at the last, as I understand, and for that. But it's something that's going on for a couple of years, and it's such a simple idea. I think it could go on as long as...
Oh, jeez.
We think...
Yeah, so it's the audio with you is very bad. I don't know, is everyone else hearing Joe or? Hello, is anyone hearing me?
You're breaking up.
Yeah, so
the audio is kind of 50-50 right now.
All right.
I'm going to drop out and see if that helps out, if we can just reduce number.
I'm going to just turn my video off. That'll take load off.
All right, thanks, Marty.
Anybody who's not on camera, turn your video off and it'll take the load off.
Yeah, good. All right. Sorry about that. There's the wonders of broadcasting on the internet. And so, there's one question we've been asked a lot this week, Joe, in the build-up to this, and it says, why is it Atheists Helping the Homeless, this charity, and not just people helping the homeless? Why do you emphasize the atheists part of it?
Can somebody who can hear him ask that again? Please, yeah. I cannot.
Yeah, I can hear you.
But quite a bit.
Yeah, he's saying he can't hear you, Zulu.
All right. Okay,
he's saying a common question that people are asking is, why are atheists helping the homeless?
Oh, good question. Well, first of all, when I went down to where the homeless get help in Austin, Texas, on a regular basis on weekends, I noticed.
Kitch, quit breathing into your
mic.
They
get a lot of help.
You yourself.
And it's a very big affair here in Austin because there's a lot of homeless people and homeless help groups. But one thing I did was that there was. I had just. Almost all of the group pretty much dominated the situation in which the bulk of the giving was done while there was preaching and essentially a church service going on with live music and praying and everything, and very professional group you know, go there and turn it into a big church service. And so I decided to want to help the homeless, because for years I and some other atheists here in Austin, we kind of dreamed of doing that, of putting out something to help, but that would be without preaching. And it just overwhelmed me that time I went there, and I actually made a video and put it on YouTube of the help they were giving out with the preaching, because it was overwhelming. And so I just said, I need to have some kind of a presence there that would be not only secular, but also that would address another issue. So don't have morals, because that's coming from God, and if we dispel God, then we must not have morals. And we are kind of annoyed when we hear things like that, of course, because it's the human in us that has morals, or I think that anyway. And so I wanted to address both those issues at the same time, and other atheists too, and so we put this together, and it seems to have worked. You're still with me?
Yeah, we're with you. One of the things I wanted to address here is a lot of comments we've been getting on different people who've been mirroring the show are people saying that calling it atheists helping the homeless is not as secular as you want it to be, because you're promoting that it's atheists that are doing it. It's a specific mindset, it's a specific ideology that's doing it. But every video I've seen you do, essentially, it's just you saying, this is atheists helping the homeless. You don't preach to any of them. You just sort of like, you know, okay, so who are you? What do you need? Here you go. And then they move on. There's no, oh, by the way, we're atheists and we're helping you out. Atheism is a good thing. You should look it up. And it's none of that. So I think that's a misconception that you guys are kind of getting right now.
Yeah, the first misconception you mentioned was the idea that atheism is kind of an ideology. And I think a lot of people want it to be, but it's just so simple. It's one thing I love about it is that I don't really want an ideology in regard to how I treat crazy ideas. I mean, there's just so many of them. What ideology is necessary? It's just common sense. And so I would say that one thing that makes our group very special in that respect is that, unlike many other groups, we don't have an overriding philosophy that guides us other than wanting to help people in need and to keep the preaching away, because, you know, a lot of them mentioned to us they don't like the preaching so much. Those are our motivations, and to show that atheists do care, but to show by example, by doing something that doesn't involve preaching, and just helping, and that's our first priority, is to help people in need. That's the most important goal. We've always stressed that. So, yeah, I would say if the name is a problem, the name has a purpose. Putting the word atheist right up in the name was absolutely tantamount. It was absolutely important. We had to do that to show, not to do this goal, because I mean, I was in the movement 15 years. I kept hearing people saying that I am not moral. So I wanted to address that, and it bugs the hell out of me, right? So I know all the atheists felt the same way. And at the very least, we can show that that's not true, but at the most, we turn it into something organized and consistent that happens again and again and again, that people there will get to know us, and they have. They recognize us when we're coming. They ask us, you come back next month? Things like, if I'm walking down there on a weekend when we're not doing a giveaway, I'm recognized by lots of homeless. Sometimes they'll come and ask me, are you doing a giveaway? I've done this before. And it's a good feeling to know that this is something that's not just an idea that happens once. It's a consistent, continuing thing, and we want to help more and more people, and it just takes a little help. And by the way, I wanted to mention, we have a GoFundMe page. If you go to GoFundMe.com and do a search for atheists helping homeless, you can make an online donation.
Also, we have GoFundMe down in the playground in our blog TV, and we also have a PayPal link as well.
May I address this issue?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Rogi Riverstone. What Joe is doing is really fundamental to the morale of homeless people. I've been situationally homeless over the last 30 years on and off, and I'm considered mobile homeless now because I'm living in a travel trailer in a parking lot in rural New Mexico. I've had to avail myself of so-called faith-based services, where it's an indoctrination camp, all the way from if you're getting a cot or you're getting a can of green beans. It's really demoralizing. The whole attitude of guilt and unworthiness and having to be closeted about my philosophies, my politics, my sexual orientation, my gender identity. It's really demoralizing. The local thrift store, for instance, which is the only place I can buy anything cheap, there's a huge picture of Mother Teresa in it. And I don't even want to walk in there, let alone give them any money. What Joe is doing and what secular groups like this are doing are providing role modeling, that there's an alternative. There's a whole mentality of the miraculous and the magical that, I was having trouble with my bike, and I was in the middle of the parking lot at the post office, and it was hot, and I was breathing hard. Some woman walked up to me and said, God told me to help you. Total abdication of personal responsibility. You know, she decided to come help me, and she wouldn't even acknowledge that to herself. And I was so ticked off by the way she even approached me that it was really hard to have a conversation with her. What Joe is doing is he's going down in the streets where people need stuff, and he's handing out toilet paper, he and his buddies. They're not preaching anything. They're just showing that people can be good without God. They're showing that morality isn't something magical. They're just showing that normal human beings can make a tremendous amount of difference. And if you think a roll of toilet paper isn't a tremendous amount of difference, try going without one.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, and I was just going to say, when we put the word atheist in the name, too, it might seem obnoxious to some atheists, but we are now talking about it because of that. And it just seems to me it's a talking point. And when it's a talking point, we discuss it more. And when we discuss it more, more people hear about the group. More people choose to donate. We get help more. We can help more people. And so, yeah, and in addition to that, I want shock value with a lot of evangelists who say that we can't do this. Atheists helping the homeless. You know, I sent an email to William J. Murray and to William Donahue and some others, and I just said, look what we're doing. Do you never want to even comment on these things? Of course, I want you to know. It's atheists, capital A, and I'm kind of proud. Anyway, thank you.
I've encountered some people, like, there's literally nothing you can do sometimes for these people to convince them that atheists actually care. Even when you start helping homeless people, even when you have a charity organization, even when you're doing everything you can to help out, it's always, oh, they're just doing it so that they can get noticed. They're just doing it to make it look like they're moral. They don't actually care. It's this no true Scotsman thing, and it's really infuriating because there's nothing you can do for some of these people to convince them that maybe they're wrong. Maybe we actually are human beings that care.
Well, then they're not worth spending any time on. They're a waste of time. You know, the people that I'm concerned about are the people who are actually in need and require resources and are being indoctrinated and are being poisoned with the mindset that they are unworthy, that they are dirty, that they are not trying hard enough. You know, what is that prosperity gospel thing? Obviously, if you're homeless, then you're not right with Jesus, that kind of stuff. I don't care about those people who want to just point fingers and demonize me. I don't give a damn about them. Unless and until their boot is on my neck, then I'll start screaming. What I'm concerned about is my neighbor next door, who is a single mom, who has a, like, 10-year-old kid living in a tent, dude, during thunderstorm season, monsoon season out here, with one electrical outlet running into the tent. Those are the people I'm concerned about. They're not ever presented with any options or alternatives. I'm in a rural town. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a fundamentalist church here. One of them has a marquee that says, when you come to a fork in the road, turn right. And I turned my companion and I said, well, doesn't that mean you're always going to be going in circles? So, again, you know, they don't even... People here don't look up at the stars. They don't see the sky. I can see the Milky Way every night here because it's rural. They go inside and they watch TV where they're pumped full of garbage. And every time you go, like I said, for a can of soup or something, and all you ever hear is that you're unworthy and you're ugly and you're bad, and anybody outside of how we believe is suspicious and dangerous and a terrorist and un-American and unpatriotic, and the way they weave that together, nationalism and religion. Having an option, having an alternative, having somebody say, you know, there's other ways to be in the world, that makes a tremendous amount of difference. And I'm sure Joe is having an impact on those people down there, Joe and his group, because for the first time in their lives, some of them are being presented with an option besides theocracy. So I don't care about the jerkwads who want to demonize me from the pulpit. What I care about is their parishioners who are on the fence and thinking, you know, there might be a better way of doing things, but they're never presented with that. And Joe's out there in his baseball cap with his big goofy grin, and there he is. There's the alternative. Not that everybody has to run around in a baseball cap with a big goofy grin, but you get what I'm saying.
No, but that's one thing that's...
Yeah.
That certainly does promote a lot.
I'm glad somebody's watching. That's good. I used to have an acoustic guitar on my front all the time and play songs, and I don't do that anymore. But well, it's a lot of fun, you know, going there and meeting friends and helping them and making a video and then going home and uploading it and noticing that people watch. It's been a great experience for me.
There's just one thing that I notice... with this, that's coming to mind with this charity, Atheists Helping the Homeless, and it's that you see these rich pastors who accuse atheists of not caring and not helping, and if you look at their, even just look at what they're wearing, nice suits, gold rings, they're looking at their house, very, very nice house. How much of their salary is going to charity? How much of what's his name? Sorry, I'm not very familiar with the American pastors.
The tithing?
Yeah, the Creflo Dollar, right?
What's his name?
Creflo Dollar.
Yeah. Or even the Vatican.
Oh, the Vatican.
For example.
Well, that's why I brought up Mother Teresa, man. Having to go into that. Now, look. This local pantry here does a lot of good. They give out food all the time. You can get furniture and clothing and anything you need to set up a household. They put out a lot of stuff for free. I furnished practically my whole house with free stuff from that place. But Teresa was a poverty pimp. Those people in that hospice of hers are still laying on cold floors, dying of treatable illnesses. Why is that? She raised millions of dollars and the folks walking around in a gold dress.
I think one of the things to focus on when it comes to Mother Teresa is just how absolutely insane her life was. For the longest time, she's going around, she's helping people, and she's just going, I feel like I'm powerless. I feel like there's nothing I can do. And the people in charge who sent her to go do these things are telling her, yes, it's good that you feel bad. It is good that you feel guilty that you can't do things. It is good that you are suffering, and you should promote that. And that became her mantra. Like, it's a good thing that you're suffering, because that's just a test of Jesus. And I think Mother Teresa could have done a lot more good if she wasn't controlled so much by the church higher-ups who are trying to convince her that suffering isn't so bad.
Well, it was her choice.
I kind of enjoyed Christopher Hitchens' take on the whole matter. He revered her as one of the worst human beings who ever lived, which really opened my eyes to it. But anyway,
yeah.
Now that I got the mic, I just wanted to go... I want to give a little speech here. First and foremost, I want to give a huge round of applause to Joe, who is essentially doing this, and Zulu, who's put together this Blog TV. Like, unbelievable, guys. And... literally, none of this even matters without the people that are in the Blog TV watching right now. You know what I mean? Like, without an actual audience, our words fall on deaf ears, right? So, you know, I just wanted to thank every single person in Blog TV right now and every person that will, in fact, attend this event because you guys are awesome. And most importantly, if you can... obviously not everybody can, but please donate. Even if it's like, you know, a dollar or 25 cents, whatever you can, it's all going to a good cause. I mean, that's why we're all doing this, right? And anyway, I just wanted to comment on something that was brought up earlier, just the whole, you know, why is it atheists helping the homeless and why Joe wanted to highlight that. It's just, you know, I find a lot of people, like, and I live in Canada where it's very, you know, secular. There's so many different clashes of religions and things like that. And everybody's very, very liberal on the fact. But even when I do mention that I'm an atheist, I get raised eyebrows. You know what I mean? People just naturally have a negative connotation towards atheists. So I think not only is this great for actually helping the homeless, but it's also good for raising awareness that, you know, atheists aren't people that actually worship Satan and whatnot. You know, we're good people, and this is showing it. And I couldn't think of a better thing, anything better or more productive for my time to be contributed towards right now.
You know, this is something we really wanted, not only to show by example that we can be really good moral people like anybody else, we also wanted to provide free thinkers of all types with a tool to use in arguments and debates with people who say that we don't have the ability to be moral. And we can just say, first of all, there is a group that's proving by example that we can, in addition to all the other secular charities that do that anyway. I mean, there are great secular charities out there that are doing great work, but that's not enough for a lot of people, a lot of theists. They want to hear the word atheist in the name of the group, or at least in the goals of the group. And so we provide all free thinkers now with this group as an example we can use in this debate and say, here is a group, not only are they proving by example that atheists do care, they put the word atheist in the name. It's undeniable. When you go to, if it's a friend or somebody who's honest, you're debating, they have to admit, okay, there's an example of how that argument was wrong, that atheists can't be moral. Here they are proving it. Now, we can also talk about the United Way and the Red Cross and other charities and groups that are helping without religion needing to be involved at all. But for a lot of people, that's enough. So we have to provide this as an argument tool that should be an ace in your hand. You know what I mean?
There is, I think, a lot of effect has been made to that regard, because in professional debates and formal debates, I stop hearing the whole thing of atheists can't be moral. The moral argument has changed thanks to atheist charities doing so many things, secular charities doing so many things. The argument has changed from atheists can't be moral to I'm not saying atheists can't be moral. I'm just saying that, you know, they can't be consistent and be moral and not believe in a God and all that kind of stuff. So what the argument has changed from atheists can't be moral. That argument is slowly going away. It's gone away completely when it comes to formal debates. And it's gone to I know atheists can be moral. That's not the issue. And I think so long as we just delineated that particular issue, then we can have a much more fruitful, much more productive, much less polarizing discussion between theists and atheists.
One can only hope. One can only hope. I want to say something to people who might be watching this who really, really, really are stressed out about money and really, really thinking, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it till the end of the month if I make a donation. There's another way in which, or you can do it in conjunction with making a donation, that you can be supportive of this effort, and that is by promoting the hell out of Atheists Helping the Homeless. I've done it on my YouTube channel. I've done it on Facebook and other places to let people know it's out there so that other people who are more able can make donations if possible. There's another thing I would suggest. You know, a heck of a lot of us in YouTube and Facebook and elsewhere are really frustrated by the sheeple. I think that kind of condemns people, again, like I say, that don't have a whole lot of alternative. But if you're feeling frustrated that people are being indoctrinated by these faith-based charities and so on, then I'm not saying start necessarily an Atheist Helping the Homeless, but I'm sure Joe would be more than willing to discuss with you how you might start something like that in your own community, and it wouldn't hurt anybody if you did. And that way, you get to have the fun of doing the work, and it is fun work, and the sense of accomplishment that you've actually done something useful, but also you get to model in your own community and provide alternatives in your own community and feel like you're part of the solution and provide people an alternative so they can work their way out of whatever fundamentalist thing they've got trapped into. The end.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the idea of making a chapter. That's actually something we tried to help other people outside of Austin create chapters of Atheists Helping the Homeless in my tribe for over a year with lots of people who wanted to try this in several different states and even outside the United States. The amazing thing to report about all the volunteers in the two chapters we have now is that it is not easy to start a chapter of Atheists Helping the Homeless. There's the work that has to be done and dedication and time spent, and it's unpaid, but this is a tangible, action-oriented group. So we don't have meetings, board of directors, or minutes, or Robert's rules of order, things like that. We're just down to action, and so that does require some tangible time and volunteer work. And everybody else who tried to start a chapter outside of Austin did not make it happen, and for one reason or another, it's really tough. And in some cities, it's more difficult than others, and we found out with this new chapter that is successful that there are some laws that are different from city to city in the same state. So all these things have to be considerations that if somebody does want to get involved in starting a chapter, I'd love to hear from you, but please keep in mind, it's not easy, it's tough, it's a lot of work and a lot of time, and we don't want to do it for just one or two giveaways either. We want to start groups that will
exactly.
last.
If you're gonna do some sort of volunteer program, don't do it if you think, I'm just gonna volunteer a couple hours a week of my time and anything like that. No, this is something that you do. This is a life that you live of helping people. That's what it ends up being. No charity wants people to come in and work that aren't going to reserve a substantial amount of time to helping out the charity. Because if you're not going to donate a substantial amount of time, then it's not going to help a whole lot. So if you really want to help, if you really do want to create a chapter, make sure that you are in a position where you can donate a lot of your time to it. At least a few hours each day.
And some money, too. That's the funny thing. I started this with the first giveaway. I saved up for about a month. And with some other friends, too, we helped out, the other co-founders. It wasn't just me, but definitely there was a lot of our personal money that's gone into this. In fact, we have some volunteers who will come to the giveaway with items they bought themselves with their own money and never look to be compensated for it. And so we're very appreciative of that. That's one way people can help. Also, I wanted to say, if people didn't want to send money online, they could send it to you through the mail. And also, we have taken donations of packages of items that have already been bought. So if somebody wanted to just go to the store and buy a whole bunch of toothpaste or toothbrushes or whatever, put it in a box and ship them off to us through the mail, those people might be able to spend less on state sales tax in their states. Here in Texas, we spend 8.25%, I believe, of state sales tax on all non-food items that we buy for the homeless because we're not tax-exempt. Another thing I need to mention is that donations to Atheists Helping the Homeless are not tax-deductible because we are not registered with the IRS. We're a nonprofit that is not tax-exempt. We pay state sales tax, like I said. And other people who donate items from other states might have a lower state sales tax and can just spend the money on that and then a little bit on postage, and it saves me a trip to the store, and it saves me some paperwork. And also, if somebody has online something that's really cheap, cheaper than you can get at Walmart even, they might be able to get us more of that and save more. I know some people who work in hotels and coffee shops and other places where they can get hold of supplies in large amounts at a discount because they know the boss or whatever. We've had a lot of help through the mail like that, a care package, but I also want to clear up a question somebody asked. The PayPal donations go to the Dallas-Fort Worth group that just started, and the GoFundMe donations go to the Austin group, just to clarify that. Thank you.
Real quick, I know on your website you have like a whole page devoted to how much money each item that you get is, what are the items that you spend the money on. Could you just run through that real quick?
Yes, and that's actually needing to be updated, but those are roughly the average prices that we get at the store, and we go to either Walmart or HEB, which is kind of a local store here, but they have roughly the same prices selection. But there's a list that's just suggestions. It just gives people a general idea of what each item costs on average, so that when you make a donation, you can kind of figure up how many toothpaste you can get with this or whatever we can possibly buy. Usually donors don't necessarily specify what we should buy, but you can if you want. If you'll send me a note, an email, tell me exactly what you'd like me to buy with the money you've sent, I'll make sure of that. In fact, I'll talk about it in the video when we make, when we do a giveaway. Some of these giveaways, I'll flip items that are new to the table, and some people laugh. I want to brag for a moment. We have a volunteer who is a dentist, and so he had a whole lot of free toothbrushes. Not only that, check this out. He got them all engraved with the name of our group. He's helping us right on the toothbrush, each and every one of them. And he got a couple hundred of them. So now there are a couple of hundred homeless people running around in Austin who have this advertisement. That's a toothbrush. It's not going to be thrown away in an hour or in a day like a cup or a plate. It's going to be with them and potentially keep a toothbrush in good shape for years. So I think that's one great idea to spread the word. And again, not to preach. That doesn't involve preaching. This just lets people know that there is a group like us doing this sort of thing. And whoever says we can't
be good people because we're godless, as this tangible piece of evidence to show otherwise. And that's just one little perk of working with great volunteers who are so dedicated.
I know we've gone through Joe's sort of semi-deconversion story on a past show that we did when we were doing a charity event with Skeptic TV as well. Riverstone, would you like to go through your whole reason why you are an atheist?
Okay. Fundamentalist Baptist Church. Minister gets up and starts talking about gays going to hell. I was 13 years old. I was in love for the first time with a female. Now, to me, gay people were two skinny white guys with a lot of money. So I, of course, was not gay, but I thought, I know what love is now. And if those people are capable of love and God is love, then what the heck is this guy talking about? Then came high school when they started indoctrinating the women how to be submissive to men, and that included being submissive to the boys we were supposed to date. And I began to balk at that because that meant boys could tell us what to do, and that seemed kind of dangerous. I finally just said to hell with it and left the church pretty much when I came out. Not too long after that, so it was the final beating from my mother. And I ran away from home. I tell everybody I ran away from home and went down to Venice Beach to join the lesbians in the 1970s. You know, little blonde white girls get eaten alive in Los Angeles if they're homeless. So I was very lucky to get in with the lesbian feminist community, which was doing a lot of stuff about questioning religion and so on. But their emphasis was more on a female-oriented spirituality than male. And I dabbled in that for a while, but it still didn't make any sense to me. The reason I ended up finally becoming atheist is because, you see, I was physically very badly abused as a child. I have brain injuries, post-traumatic stress, and I even have mutilated genitals as a result of the abuse I endured. So the reason I finally became an atheist is because logical thinking, rational thought, saved my sanity, quite literally. Not having to believe in magical things, whether it be New Agey stuff or goddess worship or tarot cards or whatever, it really saved my sanity. If there could be, even if there wasn't yet, but if there could be evidence provided at some future time through scientific method, then the world started to make sense to me. Now, in the midst of my running away from home and living with the heroin addicts and the alcoholics on Venice Beach, Carl Sagan's Contact came out. Cosmos came out. And I sat glued to the set and watched every single episode. And Sagan's popularization of science, the awe factor, those gave me back what I can only call the miraculous, the awe factor, the awesomeness of being in the real world, the real world. As ugly and scary and crazy and I don't know what the hell I'm doing here as it possibly is. There was no rule manual. There was no Bible. There was no preacher. There was no moral authority that I could relate to. All I could relate to was what are the facts. And it saved my sanity. It's been a slow and steady progression until now I'm an atheist activist. True, it's only online. Occasionally, I will mention it to one of my neighbors that I think is trustworthy and won't rat me out. But where I live, I am not out of the closet by any stretch of the imagination. I don't discuss religion with anybody. I don't go there. It's too dangerous. I don't know what these people might do. But I'm very active in the online community, and it's been extremely productive. It's been very gratifying to see that I can be useful even though I'm living in poverty and stuck in this little redneck town, that I can be useful in an intelligent dialogue about how to educate children, how to work on things like renewable energy, all that stuff, and it all comes through scientific thinking, critical thinking, rational thought. I've started a group on Facebook now for genderqueer atheists. I even have a YouTube channel for genderqueer atheists. We do news stories. And it's been the most active and productive part of my life, living in this rinky-dink little broke-down house trailer with no running water in the middle of the desert in a parking lot in rural New Mexico. So that's my journey from theism to, from fundamentalist theism to atheism.
See, that's really interesting, because one of the arguments that's usually given by the fundies in general, not necessarily the more moderate people, but the fundies sometimes say, well, you know, when you reach a point in your life where everything is just hit rock bottom, you'll convert, you'll scream out to God, you'll want God in your life, and you'll wish that God was helping you and all that kind of stuff. It's, you went like the exact opposite route.
I'm not the only one. Let me talk about mental health issues right now. I don't know if you people are familiar with Schizophrenic Queen. If you're not, you need to subscribe to her channel. She's out about her schizophrenia. And part of the reason that she is an atheist is because it works for her mental health. Now, this is a stereotype, so be very careful about what I'm about to say here. But a lot of people with mental illness are on the streets or living in substandard conditions and are barely making it. And if it weren't for donations and so on, probably wouldn't have enough food to eat at the end of the month. Now, think about having a serious mental illness and having to go in where you're filled with this delusional language about miracles and hell and so on and so forth, and how that feeds the disease. It's like pouring gasoline on a fire. I told you, I've got mental health issues. I've got brain injuries. I've got post-traumatic stress. You imagine how conducive to my mental health hearing about hell all the time was? So a lot of us, that's again why the need for the modeling of an alternative to these fundamentalists, that's why it's so important to me, because there are people living on the streets with serious mental health issues that are being pumped full of this poison and hating themselves even worse and even thinking they're demon-possessed and on and on and on. So it's absolutely, to me, essential for my mental health, and I'm hearing it from other people too, that in order to be able to recover, one needs to discipline the mind, set good boundaries based on realistic, reality-based thinking, and thinking methods. Critical thinking and skeptical thinking are essential to mental health, to me.
It's funny that you bring up mental health issues. It's the same here over in Ireland, that many people who are homeless do have mental health issues. For a while, I was working as a as part of my work experience. I volunteered in the health service, and one of my placements was at a rehabilitation, where we take those who are coming from high level institutes, high level services into low level, they'd be able to, they basically be coming out of the system and they'd be going back to work, being able to look after themselves. And what we do is that we give them the ability to work. We give them courses about gardening, English, interviews, stuff like that. And one of the people actually was a drug addict. He got into some bad trouble with some of the gangsters over here, and they threw him into the river. Unfortunately, the river was fortunately or unfortunately, depending on what way you see it, the river was, the tide was out. It was in Dublin Bay, and it was a big fall, so he broke both of his legs. And he was in a wheelchair. And from that point on, he went to the fundamentalist religion.
Yeah.
And he was born again. He was working in now, I have to admit, they were looking after him in a way, but what really wasn't helping him, and I think he was coming in and out, was that, as you said, that fear of hell. And that's what one thing I always saw was that fear of hell.
A lot of times the so-called rehabilitation is trading one addiction for another. You get off of a mind-altering chemical and you get pumped full of Jesus or Allah or whoever the soup du jour is. And it's just another kind of mental dependency, and you are just as restricted. Now, let me speak as a genderqueer. There was recently posted on YouTube a video that broke my heart. He identifies as male now, but he showed videos and stills of himself when he identified as female in high school. This is a Texas kid. Can you imagine being genderqueer in Texas? and he was planning to go through full transition to become female, and he ended up as a sex worker in order to support himself, because of course his family rejected him, and he ended up involved in addiction and so on, and the fundamentalists swooped down and scooped him up. Now he's their poster boy for how to be a man and how to resist the temptation to be herself, who she really is. And he's learned the jargon, he's learned the dialect and the speaking cadences of a born again and how to do the prayers and the whole thing, and he really is a poster boy. He gets lots of support and strokes and positive reinforcement to act as a male, and you can see, when you watch the video, you can see the terror and grief on her face. And, you know, it's... how can you be mentally healthy if somebody is just trading one drug for another and telling you that fundamentally who you are is evil, bad, and wrong?
Yeah, but that sort of carry-on really does annoy me. Like, I don't get that too much of that, because Ireland is, although predominantly Catholic, we are going towards a secular nation here, which I'm quite pleased about. But at the end of the day, it's who, when you have a mental health issue, when you're in a really bad place in mind, you are vulnerable to anything.
Exactly.
And it's really important who gets there first. That's why it really irritates me to hear that, even though it's in America, it still irritates me that the Alcoholics Anonymous is promoting, from what I hear, religion.
Yes, well, they promote God, and they talk about a power greater than yourself. You can use that instead of God. But all the prayers and all the literature say God in them. There are alternatives. There's something called SOS, Save Our Sobriety. I think it's a secular something sobriety. There are alternatives, and if people are struggling with addiction, I can't stress enough that you need to check those out, even if you can only attend meetings online. But yeah, when I was on the verge of being an addict, and I joined a 12-step group for a while, and immediately went kicked into that old fundamentalist training of miraculous thinking. And after a few months of this, I said, wait a minute, this is bogus. I'm doing this just to fit in, to get approval from the group, like I did with church. And I was lucky enough, fortunate enough, to be able to think my way through it. But I'll tell you what, when you're coming down off of a mind-altering substance, you don't think real clear. And if somebody else looks like they got their act better together than you do what they're doing. It's called sponsorship. And you try to keep your mouth shut and your nose clean and try to heal. But even in places like those 12-step programs, it's so self-deprecating. KISS, keep it simple, stupid, the way you're supposed to think about yourself. That's that Christian guilt thing again, or that religious guilt thing again. So, thank you, Joe, for being out there on the streets with your big, goofy grin.
Anybody, by the by, I don't remember the name of Joe's YouTube channel, but he has a lot of videos on YouTube showing atheists helping the homeless and what they're doing. It's a demonstration of what's happening with your money. So if you are a little skeptical about where all the money is going to go, he's got videos showing you exactly what he does with it. I think it's AA Joe Yo.
Joey Joe.
Oops. Joey Joe. A-A Joey Joe. A-A-J-O-E-Y-J-O.
Okay. Joey Joe. Gotcha. All right. So anybody who wants to know what's going to happen with your money, he's got the videos, and you can go ahead and look for yourself. Also, I wanted to bring up... Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So I wanted to bring up... we talked a little bit about people with mental health issues, and you brought up Schizophrenic Queen. I think what people tend to do when it comes to mental health issues is if somebody has something that is mentally I hesitate to use the word. I don't think it's a good descriptive word, but mentally wrong with them. I don't think that's a good word. But if someone has a mental health issue, it's not uncommon for people to not take those people seriously. But Schizophrenic Queen specifically, she is a fantastic example of somebody who can have a mental health issue yet have deep thoughts. I've seen videos that she's made where she puts out poetry. I really love Schizophrenic Queen. She is fantastic. I recommend everybody go subscribe to her if you haven't already.
Yeah, that's one thing that I've learned through my work of mental health, and one thing that really annoys me is this stereotype or thinking that just because someone has a mental health issue, they are, you know, I think there's a quite famous instance, I'm not going to bring it up, but that they can't have deep thoughts, they can't be intelligent, you know. You could have a mental health issue. And I can't remember the statistics, but you probably will have a mental health issue sometime in your life.
One out of four, dude.
Thank you. One out of four. So there's bound to be. I've had, a couple of my friends have had, and we still are smart, we still are nice. It's just that, it's just being ill. It's just think of just being, you know, you have a cold or you have a broken arm. It's just something that can be just treated. Sometimes it can't be. But at the end of the day, they're still that person. They're still people. And they still be intelligent and they can still be rational.
Well, I've got access to the audience. I would like to say something as a person with behavioral health challenges, my own self. I do a lot of activism with Mad Pride, which is a real thing. Look it up, Mad Pride. And I'm very concerned about the atheist YouTube community and social media using expressions that stigmatize people with behavioral health challenges, such as brain dead, brain damaged, crazy, lunatic, schizophrenic, delusional, to describe religion. Religion is not a mental health issue. It is a socially delusional issue. Please make a distinction of that, because when you call somebody crazy or a lunatic, you're not hurting them, you're hurting me, because you're reinforcing stereotypes about who I am. I'm beginning a series on my YouTube channel called Mad Science. I learned today about Georg Cantor. He discovered that there are an infinite number of infinities. Think about that. He was reviled in his time by other mathematicians, and here's why. God is infinite. If there are an infinite number of infinities, then there is pantheism. Now, that wasn't his conclusion. That's what they were afraid he was, the conclusion that would have been drawn. So they went into denial about his research. They refuted him. He fell into a horrible, life-lasting depression. He ended up spending the last of his life in abject poverty, and he ended up committing suicide. And then I would refer you also to Professor Nash, who was schizophrenic. And he treated his own schizophrenia, and he did it without medication. So please, when you start thinking about using terms like that, bipolar, delusional, schizophrenic, stuff like brain dead, please think about us when you start to make those conclusions. And you're smart, intelligent, articulate people. Pull out a thesaurus and find another word you can use, please. Thank you. I'm off my soapbox.
Those are excellent points. Thank you for that. And I just want to add, just for my own background and training, for mental health issues, the best way for treatment is prevention, like anything else. So to help prevent mental health issues, don't stress about things. Try to take life at a pinch of salt, and just work hard, but not too hard.
Because
if you lose your mental health, it's a very powerful thing.
Other people. Develop a support system, because one of the things that atheists tend to leave out is we tend to be chopped off talking heads, and we tend to emphasize the intellectual at the expense of the emotional. And we are animals. We are related to chimpanzees. We are one construct, and we have emotions. And the more we deny that, the more likely we are to not only be sick ourselves, but to ignore the illness and dis-ease around us and not help other people in a community. So, again, here I am on my soapbox. Sorry. This is really dear to my heart.
No, that's perfectly fine. That's exactly why we're doing this in the first place. This is what we're here for.
But I emphasize again, homelessness is not mental illness. Homelessness is extremely stressful. It's demoralizing. They take your dignity away. You have to beg for the right to wash your face and wipe your butt.
Nobody's saying that. Is anybody on the show saying that it is like that? I don't think
there are people who do that, and that is one of the main problems.
But the reverse happens to be true. A good majority of people with mental health challenges and madness issues, a good portion of those do end up in poverty and end up in desperation. But the reverse is not necessarily true. Homeless people are not necessarily addicts and not necessarily mentally ill, although I'll tell you what. You spend a few weeks sleeping in the car with a pack of kids, and you're going to be pretty freaking stressed out, dude.
Yeah, especially at these tough times with the economic downturn. A lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of people have lost their homes. So.
And the stigmatization of poor people. Poor people are kind of the new Jews. You know, I had a gay guy on Facebook. He was my friend. I posted that I was doing this atheist helping the homeless thing. He told me I'm not homeless. By his definition, I'm houseless. And I said something to him about it, and he said, well, why don't you do something about it? I mean, you don't have anything to do all day. Totally based on stereotypes. Dude, I live without running water. Do you have any idea how much physical labor that is? You know, I have to work so much harder just to go get groceries. I live across town from the grocery store. The first 6 months I lived here, I didn't have a vehicle. I pushed a baby stroller with an ice chest and a laundry basket in it all the way across town 5 miles, bought my groceries, and tried like hell to get back before noon when it was really hot. I walked facing traffic so I could see what was coming at me. Teenage kids in pickup trucks would deliberately swerve their trucks into the shoulder of the road like they were going to hit me. They screamed at me. They cursed filthy things at me. They threw things at me just for trying to get home with some groceries.
The world can sometimes be a pretty rough place, and that's why it's good to have organizations like Atheists Helping the Homeless that are willing to be out there and be sort of this beacon of hope for people who really need help and don't want, they're not focused on the fact that there's people who want to help them, but at the same time want to give them a Bible, or want to give them a Chick Track, or want to give them something, want to tell them, by the way, you can also convert to Christianity, and that'll also help somehow. The people who are homeless, that's not what they're focused on. They just want the stuff that helps them live life a little bit easier. And that is the reason that we have organizations like Atheists Helping the Homeless. People who are homeless don't want you to preach to them. It's abhorrent. And I know Christians who agree with me on this. It's not helping anything to stigmatize homeless people and say, unless you listen to what we have to say, you don't get this free stuff.
Yep. And you notice most of these people, again, will probably, you know, have never had any trouble in their life. They've never had the danger of losing their home or gone through one day of what the poor have had to do. And that you can especially evident from the Republican Party, from what I can see. I have some choice words for them, but I'll save it because this is a charity event.
Let's see, Mitt Romney's wife, I think it was, rode off her horse for $77,000. She didn't pay taxes on her horse. What the bloody? Let me eat the damn horse.
Horse meat's pretty good. We are closing down. We are closing down on the hour. We have about 5 minutes left on the hour.
Can I just thank you guys? I mean, truly, 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 this is so wonderful that you guys are doing this, that Joe exists, that people are watching this and making donations. I mean, this isn't going to help me one bit. I'm not going to get an apple or a toothpick out of this whole wad. But for me to be able to participate in this, to be able to voice some of what it's like for those of us out here, like the lady next door in the tent, to know that atheists are caring about stuff and, I mean, enough to put on this really, really, really long show. Gee, what a technical nightmare. I can't thank you guys enough for doing this. It really does my heart good. I live on optimism because otherwise, you know, with clinical depression and so on and the post-traumatic stress and whatnot, I can end up suicidal. And it's so good to be involved in something that's proactive and solution-driven. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for that. But any small thing we can do to make a difference.
And again, a big round of applause for Zulu for putting this all together, because it has been a wreck for him to get this done, and I know that he's been working really hard. So we are closing down soon for this particular segment. Up next is going to be Gogster, Confessions with Brother Dominic. That's going to be a lot of fun. And there may or may not be some very special callers for that particular segment. After that, we have Michael Shermer, which will be hosted by both myself and the Kitsch 2. After that, it's going to be Philosophy Hour with Wisdom and Nature 7, the Skeptical Heretic, and myself. After that, it's going to be Coughlin and Demaxman talking about Coughlin and his career as a stand-up comedian, as well as other things. After that, we were supposed to have Martin Wagner on the show, but Martin had to cancel due to some personal things. So we have had a successful replacement with Desert File, and that's going to be a lot of fun. After that is going to be a debate between Martimer as well as Bionic Dance as to Star Trek and Star Wars. That'll be a lot of fun. After that is going to be an hour hosted by our friends and rivals, Skeptic TV. After that is going to be the Kitsch 2 and Zulu hosting Jeff D. From the Atheist Experience. After that is going to be Coctopus Prime talking about Fox News. And that's going to be... it's a good thing that that's late, because I don't think any of the kids are going to want to be on to that. And right after that, before the closing hour, is going to be one of our headliners, Dr. Lawrence Krauss, and that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be hosted by myself as well as Martimer. And then after that, the closing hour is going to be an announcement of the Idiot of the Year Award, which was voted on at the Facebook group for Trolling with Logic, and then we'll do a live ponage of that, as well as wrapping up by thanking everybody for participating in this wonderful charity.
And I just want to also add that we will be inviting anyone who wants to join in from our guests. If they want to join in for the live ponage, they can, if they wish.
Well, I'm scared of that.
All right, we're closing down the segment. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
See you, guys.